What's up, y'all? Welcome back. Another episode, Quality Time TV. What's happening? Shout out to everybody that's tuned in, whether you on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, whatever. We appreciate each and every single one of y'all. Today, I have my guest, Nikki, from Love Child's Theory Podcast. What's up, man?
Hey.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. Glad to hear. Glad to hear. Thank you for coming on the show, by the way. I was on your podcast was that a week or two ago now?
About a week or two.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. Absolutely. That was a really good episode, man. We had a lot of good topics on there.
Mm-hmm.
Word. So let's get started. Some of the topics, because, you know, Instagram likes to cut us off after an hour. First thing I want to get into is this Meek Mill album that dropped, right? And we had a couple things that did happen on there. We had... it was a great album, first of all. I got a chance to listen to it in the gym, and it was great. I enjoyed it. So, but something that happened on there that was interesting to me that I noticed on the internet was that everybody started, like, this little line that Jay-Z said. So Jay-Z says on the record, What's Free, featuring Rick Ross and Jay-Z, he says, no red hat, don't Michael and Prince me and Ye. They separate you when you got Michael and Prince's DNA. I ain't one of these house niggas you bought. My house like a resort. Well, I can't even read. My house bigger than yours. My spout, come on, man. My house better, of course. And when this line got released, everybody on the internet, all the blogs and everything is like, yo, Jay-Z dissed Kanye. Yo, he dissed him. Yo, they beefing. We not getting Watch the Throne 2. And which... honestly, I'm not gonna lie, when I saw No Watch the Throne 2, I was a little bit sad. But I feel like there was no beef. If you really analyze this line, there was no beef at all. And I feel like the internet chose sides and created an argument out of nothing. And I feel like this happens very often on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I feel like that couldn't have been a diss because Hov already spoke his piece on the whole situation between him and Kanye. Mm-hmm. On the Everything Is Love album that he had with Beyonce.
Mm.
And he was like, I ain't going to nobody's nothing if me and my wife beefing, period. That was a direct shot to Kanye. We know what that was about. We know he was addressing the situation because that's what the whole beef was about, him not showing up to Kanye's wedding.
Yeah.
I feel like this wasn't a diss. This was just him reacting to people saying stop putting me against somebody who you know is my brother. He's called Kanye his brother multiple times. That he went on David Letterman show.
Oh, on yeah.
And he was like, brother's beef, but at the end of the day, that's still my brother, period. So I think people are reaching. They're quick to choose sides because it's more entertaining to put two people against each other than on the same side. And people just want Kanye to be the bad guy. They want him to take a L. He's not everybody's favorite person right now.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I agree with you. And Kanye's always been the underdog in my eye. Like, he's never been top dog. And I like that about him. He's never, like, you can't say Kanye's ever ran an era of hip-hop. There's always somebody else there. But, you know, he's always altered the eras. And...
okay.
When I saw this line, I'm not gonna lie, at the beginning I was like, well, he actually says yay in this. What is he talking about? He talks about the red hat. But then after you like break it down and you realize what he's talking about, he's literally saying what everybody did. He said, don't Michael and Prince us. Don't make us enemies. And that's exactly what they did, to the point Jay-Z had to come out and tweet about it.
Exactly. And he don't never get on Twitter.
Never. But he had to clear the air because... and now everybody's thinking that it's a diss instead of actually realizing and analyzing what's happening. And I think that's one of the problems with the internet. Like, I think it's part of social media. You know, we need to have some sort of drama on the internet, and it becomes biased where we choose a side and we make this war. And it's very unfortunate sometimes because we lose things. We lose the message sometimes. For example, like this. What do you think? Do you think that we lose a message sometimes?
I can't see.
Oh, am I still there?
Yeah. Lose the message with The verse that Hope said.
With like the entire song in its entirety too, you know. Did you get a chance to listen to the song?
I did listen to the song, and the message got lost because people just love to make assumptions, and I think that's another one of the big things that people are always doing, and even making an assumption thinking that we're even getting a Watch the Throne 2, because that was never explicitly,
Said.
like nobody ever said that that was something that was going to happen. Kanye just got on Twitter one day and tweeted Throne 2 soon. Like, what does that mean?
Doesn't mean anything, but
It doesn't mean anything.
everybody's gonna create their own image. Shout out to everybody's tuning in the chat. Rhodesia, Rolux, what's up? I see you. Thanks for tuning in. But yeah, we do end up losing. We create this whole image, and you know, within that song, there was something else that got brought up, and you know, that came out. But for some reason, everybody cared more about the Jay-Z and Ye, which I seen more Jay-Z and Ye, but Rick Ross had a direct shot at 6ix9ine on there, like direct.
Exactly. Direct shot, and that was more overlooked. And to my knowledge, this song was recorded way before, like 6ix9ine was even making headlines about to go to prison and stuff. And I didn't even know that him and 6ix9ine had beef.
I didn't either. I think like that was I'm seeing a lot of that now. A lot of people coming out and taking shots at 6ix9ine, you know, kind of talking about, oh, like this was gonna happen to you, or you're not the king of New York, or you was gonna lose. Like I'm seeing a lot of that now, and it's like, all right, now he's in jail. Now y'all want to come out and y'all want to talk.
Right.
I'm not a fan of that. I feel like if you should have said it. Granted, this was an album, and this wasn't Ross's album, but you had a lot of time previous. Even if you wrote this in the past, why don't you say something before? Why you gotta diss him on another man's track?
Because he's taking an L right now, because he can't respond, because his album was good. And they probably do feel threatened by this young kid, this new generation rapper that's like putting on for the rappers like him. Like, I can't even lie, I was not a fan of 6ix9ine when he was coming out, but he grew on me. His music isn't that bad. It probably doesn't make much sense, but also none of the music this day really makes much sense anyways. And they probably just feel threatened by him, I think. He went on the Breakfast Club talking about how he's most hated and he's underrated and he's the king of New York and he's this and he's that. And people really do hate him the way that he says that he's hated, and for no reason. Like,
100%.
I didn't like him and I didn't even know why I didn't like him. Like, I was 6ix9ine, I don't like him.
And I think that's what ended up happening with Rick Ross. I don't think where did that come from? Like I was just confused as where did it come from?
Exactly.
And Meek didn't even address it either. Like what was the point? What was the point?
Exactly. I think Rick Ross also was just looking for his way back in, because I can't even think of the last album he dropped was earlier this year, like in the beginning of this year.
He did, right? Yeah, that's interesting. Yo, you're bringing up some good points, but that kind of goes into like the next topic though. Like a couple things. Let's actually hop right into it. We was gonna do a wrap up, but you brought up some good stuff, so we're gonna hop right into the next topic. I'll go ahead and pull that up for y'all. So recently there's been a lot of hate on the old heads. You know, thank y'all for tuning in. Rhodesia, I see you. Rolux, I see you. T-Drix, I see you. Thank you for tuning in, y'all. Participate in the chat. If y'all got any thoughts, opinions, let us know. But I feel like these old heads are kind of shitting on the younger kids where they're bashing their music. And I think Rick Ross pulling that move was one of those attempts at it. And I just want to bring up a couple tweets that actually came out today Ebro. He started posting this stuff, reposting. And one of the tweets was, when I was a kid, I'd listen to Kane and Rakim and think, man, I'll never be this good. Kids today hear most hip hop and think, shit, I can do that. And truthfully, they can. which I do not agree at all with. But then he goes ahead and he reposts this other post from Will.i.am, and he's like, oh, I agree. So Will.i.am posts, the problem with hip-hop is everybody could do it. It doesn't take much fucking skill right now to make hip-hop. It's become the lowest hanging fruit. It's no longer about Rakim level, Nas level, not the deep metaphorical simile shit. Right? And then we had another tweet that came out, and this was from Clark Kent. I can barely see this. Wow. But y'all that can see it in the chat, y'all go ahead and y'all see. This is what Clark Kent has said. So he even made a shot at the younger kids. And I'm just like, why are we bashing the younger kids for their music when they were growing up, their family was looking down on hip hop? Like, my family growing up thought Jay-Z was trash. Jay-Z. They thought Jay-Z was trash.
Right. And now he's top five. If he's not in your top five, you're wildin'.
Yeah. And I'm seeing this constant pattern of people bashing the younger kids, and their music is really good. And I've been saying this for a little bit of time, is I don't feel like I enjoy it. But here's the thing. I feel like we get to a certain age, and this is science. Our creativity curve ends after the age of 25. And we can't absorb what these kids are making because they're between the ages of 16 and 25, your most creative time of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing wrong with it. It's science, bro. It's science. There's a reason why the music industry is a young cat's game. It's very rare that we see 30, 40-year-olds actually coming out and then making it in this game, because it's a young cat's game. That's what it is. It's about the energy. It's about the parties. It's about having fun. That's how I feel about it. And they need to stop bashing them and actually absorb it. But you look like you got some thoughts on this. Let me hear what you got to say.
I feel like, in response to the Will.i.am quote about when he said the problem is with hip-hop, anybody can do it, I think that is incorrect. I think there's a difference between rap and hip-hop. I think hip-hop is more cultural. Rap is just, anybody can do rap, like, because literally anybody can rap. Rap is just writing some bars and making them rhyme over a beat. But hip-hop, I feel like, is deeper than that, and not everybody can do that. Like, I don't think Lil Uzi Vert is hip-hop. I think that rap, or whatever this new genre of music is, contemporary rap, whatever. Like, and I think it's just an old head thing to bash music that the new generation is listening to, because when I'm in the car with my mom and the radio comes on and I turn the volume up and I'm like, oh, I love this song, my mom is looking at me crazy like, you like this song, you listening to this? And I'm like, yeah, this is hot. And I'm pretty sure that when I'm her age and I'm in the car with my kids, they're going to be playing some music and I'm going to give them that same face and I'm going to bash the music and say, y'all don't know nothing about good music, and play some like Drake or something. So I just think that's just the old head thing. Old heads is always going to have an opinion. And for Ebro to be the one to tweet those things is just, that's what he does. I feel like people look to him for his opinion because of, like, he's on Ebro in the morning. Like, they know him and Funk Flex, too. Funk Flex does it also. They're always like, oh, they love to just stir up some mess on social media so that everybody else can, you know, put their two cents in.
But I hear you. Like, I definitely do see that, whereas we're going to stir something up. But what are you doing about it? Like, I see Ebro posting this, but what are you going to do about it? Like, are you just really going to sit here and, you know, just talk about it? If you personally feel like the art of hip-hop is lost, then find artists that are hip-hop and have them go sell out a show. You know what? It's not going to happen right now. Nobody wants to hear that lyrical stuff. And I come from an era where we enjoy that Nas, we enjoy that Rakim, that Jay-Z, storytelling with words. That's not what it is right now. And if we keep on bashing the kids, there's a reason why they're disrespecting the older cats. And I can say Flex, honestly, he's accepted it. You know, he started playing 6ix9ine when he came out. He's had Lil Yachty up in his freestyles. You know, he's actually doing something about it. But when I see Ebro, the only thing I see is a bunch of hate. And it's not right. It's not right at all. Let them create. If anything, show them what to do. Show them how you did it so they can become greater artists. Let them create their art. Let them do what they're doing. That's just how I feel. I feel like Ebro is just out here just talking, like being a chatty patty and reposting stuff and saying, oh, you see, that's what I was saying.
I don't know if I believe that Ebro really believes those things that he tweets. Like, he could be tweeting it, but I don't know if that's how he really feels. Because I can't see you being a DJ, being on one of the hottest radio stations in the city, and you're just opposed to this one type of music. Like, how can you be so biased and be, like, on a radio show? Like, literally. Like, Charlamagne can get on the radio show. He may not like your music, but he's not going to call you trash on Breakfast Club. Like, he may say, like, oh, you make hot songs, but, you know, you're not that. Like, he's going to let you know to your face, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said it to
6ix9ine. Ebro not doing that.
You bring it up. Charlamagne said it directly to 6ix9ine's face, like, yo, you're not going to last. That first interview, he was like, yo, you're not going to last. And he kept it a buck. But, you know, 6ix9ine proved him wrong. And I think with 6ix9ine proving him wrong, that should be an eye-opener. It should be an eye-opener to say, all right, well, he's right. Maybe this is what people want. Why is he not headlining Summer Jam at this point?
Right, exactly.
Like, granted, he's had some stuff that happened to him, but this is what people want to hear now. This is what, it's not just about the lyrics anymore. And to say that these kids are, you're basically saying they're talentless.
Right. And perfect example of a song that literally this new generation, I really don't understand. Like, my students today were singing the Sheck West song, Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba. Yes. And I was just like, y'all know this song? And I couldn't believe that they were singing, the little sixth graders. And I couldn't believe that they were singing the words to this song. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't escape this. And I don't know what he's saying in the song. I don't know what the song is about. I probably didn't even say the title of the song, right? But it's like, obviously, this generation, they don't care what the artist is talking about as long as it sounds good. And if it sounds good, I'm not going to hate on the next person. I don't think I'm going to be one of those old heads. Like, I'm not going to be an Ebro.
I think
I'll probably be more of a Charlamagne.
Charlamagne. I respect that. See, I respect that, though. And, you know, it's interesting that you say it's about the way how it sounds, because I think it's also big. We had DJ Fame on here, and, you know, he's a great DJ. He works actually with Grandmaster Flash. He's worked on Netflix show The Get Down. He said hip-hop isn't a genre. Hip-hop is a feeling. And when I hear this new music now, you listen to Mo Bamba, there's a reason there's energy, because there's a feeling in it. I feel good. And even like we brought up Uzi earlier, I'm going to keep it a buck. About 3-4 years ago, I hated mumble rap. I hated it entirely. I could not see why anybody would listen to it. I said Uzi was trash. I said XXXTentacion was trash. I said they all were trash. But it was one video that I found on YouTube, and this guy made a acoustic version to it was some, oh goddamn, that's the bitch that I love. Oh goddamn, diamonds all in my, I forget the name of that song, but I could just remember him singing it with his guitar and actually creating an acoustic song out of it. I'm like, wow. Now I can hear the talent in Uzi Vert. I had to separate him from his music. And now I'm like, yo, just his style is so unique. Of him using the production, he's one of the only, if you want to call him hip hop, one of the only artists that's using an accordion in his songs. That's different. That's talent for him to actually be able to do that. Because not everybody could get on a song like and attack it the way Uzi does. Not everybody could get on a song and attack it the way XXXTentacion was attacking songs.
Yeah, no, that's true, I guess. I'm not a big Uzi fan.
Nah? What about X? What about XXXTentacion?
XXX grew on me. I was familiar with, like, a few of his songs before the Question Mark album, but that's when I really started to become a fan, and then, unfortunately, he was taken away from us. So, that's that.
And I remember having a conversation with somebody, and I said, you know, do they listen to X? And they said, nah, I don't listen to him because I don't like how he looks.
Now, see, that's a messed up reason to not listen to someone. Mm-hmm. Because there's plenty of artists out there that don't look like they may sound, may rap good. But if you're listening, like, I feel like if people were able to listen to the artist before they got to see them, mm-hmm. that would be a much better, like, a better way to just discover new music. A lot of the times when I'm looking to find new music, I'll just turn on my Apple Radio, mm-hmm. pick a genre, and just let it play. Because I half the time, I won't even know what's playing right now. And if I like the song, I'm going to download it. Mm-hmm. The perfect example of that is when I discovered Daniel Caesar. I had no idea mm-hmm. what he looked like. And 9 times out of 10, if I would have seen his face before I heard his voice, I probably would never chose to listen to the song that I did. Because the voice that comes out his mouth looks nothing like. No shade at all, but I was like, I was shocked. I was just like, wow. And then when I finally saw him, I was like, wow, like, that's him. Like, mm-hmm. that's crazy. I probably would have said the same thing mm-hmm. for Extension if I would have never seen him before I actually chose to listen to his music. And then mm-hmm. I would have been like, wow, like, this is what he looks like. Like, people need to, like you said, you can't separate the artist from their music. And mm-hmm. a lot of the times people can't separate the artist from anything, just like in talking about Kanye, people can't separate him from anything else that he does. Mm.
That's a good point. They do kind of throw Kanye into this one bag with his, I'm gonna say, his antics and then his music, and then say like, oh, he's I'm not gonna listen to him because of what he said. And you know, it's a good the points you made up about like Daniel Caesar and then XXXTentacion. Like, you even Trippy Red, I was a victim to it. I said, this guy looked like Chucky. He looked scary. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember his first album that came out, I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't really like it. But his last album that came out, I was like, wow, this is really good. And, you know, it's because I had an open mind to the new music to say, all right, let me give this a try. Let me give it a listen with open ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening now, where we can't have an open ear because we judge. We're judging books by the cover. We're judging music by the artist, the way how they look before we even get a chance to listen. And I think X didn't get a lot of recognition that he deserved because of how he looked. Where he had no, you really think about it, he had no really radio backing until Sad came out and until he passed. Like, there was no DJ saying, yo, XXX, I'm dropping this in the club when I'm playing this. There was nobody really out here repping him like that. He built his own little community of followers for him to be mm-hmm. able to do what he did. And he was great. He was great at it.
And he had the help of a lot of rappers too, like Kodak. That mm-hmm. Kodak song really put him on a lot to open up to new fans. Roll in Peace.
Oh, yes.
That song actually got a lot. That was probably his most played song on the radio.
Mm. Beyond Look At Me?
With X on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I know Look At Me was definitely one of those. Look At Me fit his image. That was the thing about it. It fit his image. When you heard Look At Me, you were like, okay, I see this kid. He's running around, and he's hopping on people. He's beating people up in videos on YouTube. He had fight compilations on YouTube. You're like, okay, I can see this. Like, I see what he's doing. Then he goes ahead and drops an album like 17, and it's a totally different path. Like, that caught me way off guard. And he's creating songs about depression and losing people and suicide. And it's just like, damn, like, bro, you're how old? And you know all of this? I can vibe with you about this. And I think, just like going back to the old heads, none of the old heads was looking at that and saying, wow, this kid creating an album like that. I ain't see Ebro talking about X and promoting him. I ain't see none of these radio DJs really promoting him or talking about him until he passed. I just feel like it's going to end up leading to it's going to end up being negative for the future of hip hop and music, where the kids aren't going to want to respect the older heads. And it's happening now, and if we continue on this path of bashing them, there's some people that do respect them, like Fat Joe. I think Fat Joe respects them. But if we continue that path, I think that it's going to end up just being bad all the way around.
I'm probably in the middle. I don't think that a majority of the new generation feels that way because a lot of them are real in tune with like older types of music. Like for example, when I think about my students, I play music for them a lot and play like a mixture of music. Like sometimes they'll ask me to play Little Baby. Sometimes they ask me to play New Edition or
Oh,
like
wow.
yeah, and they'll know the words to these songs. I'm like, okay, like so y'all ain't totally lost. Like y'all know a little bit. So they're real in tune with like all types of music because also remember this is the generation of kids who have access to the internet and they love YouTube and they were born for this. So
Yeah, we're born into it.
yeah, they were born into the age of the internet, so they already know how to search stuff. And they just love music. They love good music. They all have access to TV. I wouldn't say that they don't respect the older type of music. I think they have respect. They just this is their
Time.
now. Yeah, this is
Yeah.
their now.
So to wrap it up, I think I'm gonna say that I've and shout out to everybody who's tuned in. Julian, I see you. Flea Mason, I see you. Thank you for tuning in. I think what needs to happen now is we need to start accepting what they're making. Like you said, if they are respecting it, we should be respecting. If they're respecting the older music, we should be respecting them and their style. Their style is probably gonna last. It's probably gonna be here to stay, and it's showing signs of it. So I feel like we should be respecting them and their craft. What about you?
I agree. I feel like we can't demand respect and not be giving it back to them. I think the most I can do to do my part is when I'm older, I'm not gonna make sure that I don't bash like the music that's playing it just because it sounds a little different, but be a little bit more accepting of it and actually try to listen to it or just remember like back in my day, even now, like because now this present day would be back in my day to my future self. And some of the music now doesn't even make any sense, but it sounds good. So I just have to remember that that is a thing, that music can just sound good even if it doesn't make much sense to you. Still be charting. I honestly was looking at the Billboard 100 and a lot of the top 10 songs is just crazy. The songs that are there.
What's on it? I haven't looked at it in a while.
Sickle Mode is number one. Some song called Marshmallow and something is like number two.
Oh, Marshmallow's dope.
I don't even know what that is. Maybe I'm late, but the top 10 is crazy. Thank You Next is like number three or something. But shout out to Sicko Mode getting number one. I love that song.
Marshmallow, he's that little EDM producer.
Oh.
I'm trying to think what song could be. I haven't checked it in a while, but like you said, it what you said?
I don't know the name of the song, but it's number two.
I gotta check that. But I mean, there's even some songs that just sound good. It's not even in English, you know, and we'll take it as long as it feels good. 100%. So, going into like the old heads bashing the younger generation, there are artists. Hold on, Julian says
Julian
something.
says something.
He said, "But where's the platform to ensure this generation can truly embrace where the older generation comes from? We were driving and waking up in our parents' car when on early Sunday a.m. and or cleaning." That's true. I can see that. I think, and let me know what you think too. What do you think about that before I get
I
into
think
it?
the Breakfast Club is still a thing. Like people still get in their cars and listen to the radio. And if you don't listen to the radio, the Breakfast Club is also available on iTunes podcast. It's also available on YouTube. There are so many music platforms that celebrate all types of music. Joe Budden, Remy Ma, Scottie Beam, and Jinx are on State of the Culture, which is a YouTube visual podcast. I feel like there's a lot of platforms that celebrate all types of stuff. The Soul Trains Awards on BET this year was actually really dope. and celebrated a lot, like, of the older culture. And just think of that being on TV now. The younger generation is seeing that, and they're seeing how much praise and, like, recognition that type of music has gotten. And I wouldn't even say that this younger generation isn't as accepting of the older music, because a lot of the music producers now sample music from way back in the day, and we don't even realize it just because we're not on that side of, like, the field, you know what I mean? Like, if you think about all the songs that probably dropped way back when, even Kanye, I'm always talking about Kanye, but but the music that he samples half the time, my grandparents was listening to. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even realize it until probably I'm with my grandparents and I hear that song. And then I'm like, I know that song. That's no sorts of stuff. Whatever it's called. And then she'll be like, no, that's this. And I'll be like, oh, wow. And then that's when the appreciation for the older music comes. Because then it's like, okay, like, I guess if Metro Boomin can use it, I can, you know, mess with it.
I like that. No, you're right. It is there, and I always say, like sampling is just a beautiful thing, that you can take somebody's record and turn it to a totally different experience for a whole other generation. And like he says, where's the platform to ensure the I like what Julian said about the platforms. Like, when we were waking up on a Sunday, we would hear, like, Luther Vandross playing in our living rooms. And for my family, we're Jamaican, so we had, like, Barris Hammond, Barrington Levy, mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. You know, and we don't have that. I'm not going to lie. We kind of don't have it now. And I think it's because of the internet, where there's too many resources. For us, when we woke up in the morning, that was our iTunes, whatever it was playing. We couldn't just pop the CD out and put 50 Cent Get Rich or Die Trying in, because my mom would smack me upside my head. Julian says, if we don't realize it, how can we appreciate it? Kanye in the sunken place now, but how am my son going to understand sampling without any context?
Or, like, I just feel like how great it is that we all have iPhones and, like, have access to things like Spotify and SoundCloud and Apple Music and Tidal. And how I can go from listening to Chaka Khan, to Ariana Grande, to Tupac, to Mary J. Blige, to Faith Evans, to Juice WRLD, just that. And I just listen to all those different types of songs, like, within, like, 10 minutes. And appreciate those songs just for what they are. That's not me necessarily. Like, I feel like the music... streaming resources that we have now are the platforms that we need that the younger generation have, where they can learn to appreciate old and new music, because there's literally billions of songs out there on all these platforms. People just have to find them.
100%. And it's interesting that you say that, you know, you can get all these songs. Insta Joe, what's going on? I see you. Because I also feel like, LDOT, what's going on? I see you. I feel like the streaming platforms aren't pushing it, though. Like, when you look at what's hot playlists, they're not really mixing it up the way how we would mix it up. And I was the same way. Even before streaming, you went on my iPod, I would go from Lil Wayne to Luther Vandross in two songs. And then after Luther, we're going into Fall Out Boy and Linkin Park. But there's no way to really get that right now if we're just going and having... if we're just going directly on there, what you got?
Not necessarily true, because I don't know. I don't know. I try to use my Apple Music to the fullest extent, because if I'm going to pay for it, they go. But anyway, like, when you listen to, like, your iTunes, I don't know if other music streaming services do this, but I know Apple Music does it, and it looks at the music that you have in your library. And it kind of, like, personalizes a radio for you and will play music that it thinks you want to hear. Mm-hmm. So whether it's music you already have in your current library or if it's just a song suggestion, and nine times out of 10, it's a song you probably want to hear, because it's listening to the songs that you, like, play, or the types of songs that you play. So I don't know. I think that's one way that Apple Music is kind of doing it.
I think that goes to, like, what Julian was saying, though, when he said if we don't realize it, how can we appreciate it? Like when he says, like Kanye sampling, but because if we don't have that style of music in our Apple Music, it's not going to get it for us. Where we do have Linkin Park falling into our library because all we've listened to this whole time was hip hop. Instro says, nah, that's why I love Tidal. It stays showing new music and artists of all genres to put people onto new music. No, 100%. I can respect the new music. What I mean is the older music, the stuff that we wouldn't be able to find or know about, like what Julian said with the samples. If we don't know that somebody sampled a record until we hear it, how can we have a respect for it?
Then I think that's something you have to deal with the producers and the engineers, because they're putting the song together. They're the ones going, getting the older music, or maybe if you want them to sample more older music. But then also, they chop and screw the music so much, nine times, we barely recognize the song when we hear it anyway. Because I just found out today that Juice WRLD is like apparently being sued for using a Sting melody. And I didn't even know that that's what that song was. But it's like there goes an instance of him using a song from like a previous generation in one of the songs that probably every 10-year-old from here to California knows word for word. Song. But I think that was a perfect example. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, streaming services could probably provide that. I think Spotify did something like that where they would give you information on the song as you were streaming it. And, you know, maybe that's something that all streaming services need to start doing. Like, if this was sampled.
Andorra was one of the first streaming services I realized that did it way before I had, like, Apple Music or anything in Spotify, that when Pandora would play the song, they always give, like, a bio about the artist, about the song, more like this, kind of like that. But that's what I do. I do that with my iTunes. I always hit, if I like the song and I never heard it before, I'm going to hit more like this. Whether it's old or new, just so I can hear more new current music.
Absolutely. Instro Joe says, word, like a pop-up video type idea. Yeah, 100%. I feel like that can solve that issue that Julian had brought up about how can we have a respect for it if we don't know about it? And you can't know what you don't know. You know, maybe the streaming services, maybe they need to, maybe they do need to throw something in. Like if you heard Juice WRLD's Lucid Dreams and you streamed it 1,232 times, maybe they should play the Sting record and say, hey, you might like this. So maybe, you know, the streaming services have a part to do with people overlooking the older generation's music.
Maybe that's an app somebody need to make.
Somebody hop on it. I want parts. I want parts. But you know, there is a lot of good artists out here. Like, I think Juice WRLD is a very great artist, and you know, he's very talented. But you know, I want to get into the next topic, where T-Pain tweeted something recently, where he says, I'm actually gonna pull the tweet up for you guys. So T-Pain says, the fact that people complain about music and still don't put Anderson .Paak on top is beyond me. There are real musicians out here not getting the roses because they don't have enough drama in their lives on Instagram, and I'm baffled. That's how I read it. Julian says something in here. She said, "What are your thoughts on a platform bringing? What are your thoughts on bring up thoughts? Sorry, whoa, he sent two messages." But he said, what are your thoughts on a platform bringing older generation in tune with the new generation music? My moms would bump OD Kanye West Blood in the Leaves. How do you think we can bridge that? That's a good. And he said, my bad, new topic. L-Dot says, transition's crispy. Thank you, bro. But that's a good idea, you know, bringing everything together. And that's kind of what I was saying, just bringing it all together where, for example, like what T-Pain says, and Anderson .Paak. Anderson .Paak is a really great artist, very talented, but he's not getting a lot of recognition because he doesn't have a lot of crap going on in his life. Maybe the streaming services should be pushing that. And he doesn't sound like something that's out right now. Same thing like with Bruno Mars. Oh, you got some thoughts. I see it. What you got?
I wouldn't say that streaming services aren't pushing it. We have to be like there to listen. Like, 'cause I know when I'm listening to like my R&B radio station on Apple Music, I hear Anderson .Paak all the time. But that also goes to the type of music that you listen to personally, because a lot of these streaming services are customized to what you already listen to. So I think the first time I ever heard an Anderson .Paak song, I downloaded his music and then I started to hear it more and more frequently. And then also, I wouldn't even say that, to go back to the T-Pain tweet, I wouldn't even say that a lot of there's I know there's a lot of artists out there that need to get recognition, but just think about how many talented artists there are out there, and everybody can't be number one all at once. Feel like I feel like everybody has their season. And now that I'm starting to see more and more of Anderson .Paak, maybe his season is up next. Like Cardi B season was last year. This year could be whoever, and then the year before that was Kendrick or like whatever. But like somebody has to be number one, and then the following year somebody like will take the torch.
Well, I think what he's saying too, I agree with you 100%. Somebody has to be, you can only have one person on top. And this year, like you said, last year was Cardi B. I think this year it was 6ix9ine. But I think what he's getting into is also that the talented artists, the ones that do have the talent that these old heads are complaining about, since these young kids are talentless, we're not focusing on an Anderson .Paak. We're not focusing on, I like this artist named Masego. We're not focusing on him. He's phenomenal. He's a great artist. And it's because they're not on Instagram doing wild stuff and creating drama in their lives compared to like a 6ix9ine creating something new every single week, where we're forced to see him. Or like you see a Lil Pump, and Lil Pump comes out and he's pissing on his money, and you're just like, yo, like this is wild. But he now becomes relevant after that.
That's exactly it. It all is about relevancy. For instance, if I was to go and ask one of my students who's better, Andre 3000 or Lil Pump, what you think they're gonna say? They're gonna say Lil Pump because they don't know that Andre 3000 is like a beast in actuality. And that's fine for them to think that because they didn't grow up with Andre 3000. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Nah, you're absolutely right. It's not around for them to hear. And
Right. It's not their fault. That's just the times that we live in. They got Lil Pump right now. But when they get older and when they start to explore music, when they start to listen to other things and see, they'll realize that, okay, there's Andre 3000, there's Jay-Z back in the day and now, there's Nas, there's Rakim, there's all these other types of music that was lit like back in the day.
Julian says it's all relative. I'm guessing, but to your point, how do we bridge that? I'm guessing he's saying, how do you bridge that? My
Well,
bad.
how do we get the youngins into with
Young, yeah, with the older cat. I mean, I have an answer for that, and I think I said this on the previous episode, is that maybe the older artists should be not putting the younger artists under their wing, but actually like wanting to work with them. And sometimes it doesn't always work. Like Future tried to work with Juice WRLD, and I wasn't a fan of it, but you know, I like the fact that he made an attempt to do that. That he wanted to work with Juice WRLD. Same thing like with X and Kanye. I like the fact that Kanye made an attempt to work with XXXTentacion instead of saying, "Oh, this is trash." Julian also says some critics say, thanks to mumble rap, hip hop is at its lowest point. What are your thoughts on that? That's exactly what we were talking about before with the old heads. That's exactly what they were saying, that mumble rap is at its lowest point, that anybody can do it. Anybody can be hip hop.
But how many of us could really go in the studio and write a hot song and it be top 10? Because I know I couldn't. So not anybody can. You could say anybody could, but could you really go do it? Because I don't think I could.
And something else I seen going to like the whole drama thing is you need a gimmick. No,
Right.
6ix9ine's gimmick was he had like the tattoos on his face and then like the colorful hair. And Julian says, shit, I can't. You need to become an artist then. You need to change your name. Become a rapper, man. But sometimes people say you need a gimmick, like Lil Pump pissing on his money or 6ix9ine doing what he did. And does the gimmick make you a better artist? Like, do you become bigger after the gimmick? Is that what we need, or does the music still matter that you put out?
I think it makes you more popular, but I wouldn't say it makes you a better artist, because look at the artists out there who have no gimmick. J. Cole doesn't have a gimmick, and he's undeniably, definitely top five. And he literally just be chilling all the time. Mm. Like, really just, like, chilling heavy. And
very true. Very true. So,
and he even takes artists under his wing. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You're good.
He takes artists under his wing. He has a song with a fairly new artist, Bass.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fire song. And because that song was so good, and because J. Cole hopped on that song, I listened to more of this artist stuff, and this artist stuff was good, which I think goes back to what you had said, that if more of the artists that everybody fucks with actually, like, is willing to collab with these newer artists, people would be more acknowledgeable of their music.
That's very true. So I don't think hip-hop is at its lowest point. If anything, I think hip-hop is in a great transition, but we keep considering these artists hip-hop, and I think that's also what's destroying everything, where, you know, at one point in time, punk rock was a disgrace to music, and it's now considered a huge staple in rock right now. And I think we're in that phase where the gimmicks and the crazy hair like they had in the punk rock era, the clothes that they wore, the things that they had surrounding them gave them more attention. So it's almost like history repeating itself. So I wouldn't say hip-hop's at its lowest time. I think it's just transitioning into something bigger than what it started off being.
I would honestly say it's not at its lowest point. I think it's at the opposite, like one of its highest points. Because you're somebody who's always on Instagram or always watching the news, or you're just in tune with music, so you know that records are always being dropped. Another platinum plaque is always being given out. The streaming record is being broke. Like, so I don't think hip-hop is really doing all that bad. I just think people have to be a little bit more open-minded and willing to accept that, okay, this is what it used to be, but this is what it is now. And you can, it's okay to like how music was before, but this is what it is now.
Got it. So we got a couple things in the chat. Oh, let me pull this back up. So Instadro says, hip-hop is evolving, and I think we don't realize that hip-hop, much like the hood, moves at a faster pace than other lifestyles and cultures and genres. So he's saying hip-hop evolves, and I think we don't realize that hip-hop, much like the hood, oh, it's moving at a faster pace than other lifestyles and culture. You got to keep up. Julian says, 6ix9ine, number two on Billboard is not a disgrace. Granted, his production is phenomenal, but why is Anderson .Paak and Jaden Smith OD, and he puts this in caps, OD underrated. Sire and the Lost Tapes are fire. Never even heard of, including XXX. I don't think, see, I'm a 6ix9ine fan. I don't think 6ix9ine on the billboards is a disgrace. I think 6ix9ine he studied the internet. Like, he studied it and learned it and created an art out of trolling. He created an art out of his music, where his style, there's an energy that flows through his music that you have to kind of respect him being number two on the billboards. You have to respect him being able to hit it back to back to back, actually just getting on the billboard consistently, even if he's not being number one. Not everybody can do that. Not even mainstream artists can do that. But what do you think?
I think that to thinking about something like that is something that, if you want to see your artist or a particular artist or a particular genre in the billboard at a certain number or whatever, just think about, like, it's a question I have to ask myself, like, how many times did I listen to this artist's song or album versus 6ix9ine? Like, I know I listen to the 6ix9ine album every day when I get on the train. I'm not always listening to like Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole. Some music I really feel like I have to be in the mood for. If I'm on my way to work and I'm tired, I'm going to listen to something that's going to get me more amped up. I'm going to listen to 6ix9ine. I'm going to listen to Meek Mill because I don't want to be chill right now. I'm on my way to work, got things to do, stuff that needs to get done. Mm. Now, on a different day, at a different time, when I'm in a different mood, I'm going to listen to Jaden Smith. I'm going to listen to Anderson .Paak. I'm going to listen to Daniel Caesar and all of that. There's a time and place for everything, I feel like. And if you want to see Anderson .Paak in the top five, play his album all day and night, period.
Julian says, that's where I have to gracefully disagree. To your point, 6ix9ine studied mainstream current generational hip-hop and made it big. J. Cole, Kendrick, Hove, all of the HOF are not generational, in my opinion. I think he's saying hip-hop. In my opinion, hip-hop is not generational. It's about your and telling your story and the truth and artistry. I can see that. I get what you're saying. He did study mainstream, and he figured out how to do it the right way, where he can be the center of attention, something that everybody talks about. But as far as him telling his story and truth and artistry, kind of... Oh, he's saying Hall of Fames. Okay. And all of the Hall of Fames are not generational. See, I think that he could have probably been generational. And he's proven that he can make different styles of music.
His album was very diverse.
Very diverse. But I get what you're saying, 100%. Like, it's his music compared to what we're used to listening to. When we are used to listening to J. Cole or Kendrick or Jay-Z, when we're used to listening to that, and then something new comes out like 6ix9ine, and we throw it into the hip-hop category, it starts to lose its value because 6ix9ine is not hip-hop as we know it. It's not. It's like you said, there's a time and place for it. I listen to 6ix9ine close to 5 to 6 days a week because I listen to 6ix9ine every single time I'm in the gym. Every single time I'm in the gym, there's at least 1 to 2 6ix9ine songs that are playing. So I'm definitely part of the reason that he is on the Billboard, but I'll be honest, I'm an Anderson .Paak fan, but I'm not listening to Anderson .Paak every day when I'm in the gym. Mm-hmm. There's a certain lineup of people, and that's what I need to listen to put me into that zone. And that's showing replay value. You need to have replay value in order to make it on the Billboard now with these streaming stuff. You can't just sell a record and call it a day. People have to come back and actually stream your stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I agree 100% with what he's saying. I can see it from your end, but that's just my take on it. 6ix9ine is he's gonna continue to do what he does. Instra Joe says that's true. And shout out to everybody that's tuned in right now. Y'all are awesome. I love all of y'all. But we're almost at that mark. Let's go ahead and wrap this up with drama versus talent. So do you think, does drama make the artist, does it make them hit the Billboard, does it make them a better artist? Are more people more inclined to listen to their music if they have drama and they're on Instagram?
I guess it depends on what you consider drama. Or it, maybe it goes back to what you said of like you gotta have a gimmick. But drama, I mean, drama just makes an artist trending. I don't think that has anything to do with records. Well, maybe it does. It does directly go back to record sales. So maybe, yeah.
Gotcha. Julian says, only thing is that everyone is saying Hov's What's Free verse on Meek's album is number one of the year. Back in 2000, I'd argue that was like top 10. Would you disagree? LDOT says maybe top 3. That verse was fire, but I agree. From a hip-hop standpoint, Hov has been dropping some really great verses recently from the 444 album.
Yes.
So, you know, what do you think? Do you think that was top verse of the year?
Hov's verse, top verse of the year?
Mm-hmm. He dropped some gems.
I feel like I don't want to say that's verse of the year because the year is not over yet. And there are still some albums that might possibly drop.
You talking about Kanye?
I'm waiting. And no, there's a few that are supposed to drop, like him. I'm got my fingers crossed for Gambino and who is that? Chance the Rapper, which probably is not gonna happen this year. But I'll definitely say that that whole verse was top five best verses of the year. Definitely, probably number two. I don't know what number one would be, but I don't want to give it the number one spot because I have to think about that. For a verse of the year.
Nah, it's not there.
No. I don't know. I don't know.
The verse of the year is 6ix9ine Fifi.
What? Never.
Nah, I'm messing with y'all. LDOT says, so now what might have been considered mediocre in the 90s, 2000s is fire in 2018. That's an interesting point. And we do have a couple more minutes. We could probably dive into this because that is a good point. Do you think that's because of the lack of verses, the lack of good verses to compare it to?
Probably, maybe. I think because now the focus isn't so much on the lyrics, but it's more on how the song was engineered and put together. Because the beat is here before you hear anything. And I kind of feel like if the beat is hard, people kind of zone out and focus more on that than they do the lyrics. And they won't even pay attention to what they're saying. So oftentimes you might even overlook a fire verse just because you're listening to how the song sound.
That's true. Julian says LDOT dropping real gems right here. Flea Mason says, whole verse not best verse of the year. Julian says, Flea Mason know what the fuck he talking about, too. LDOT says, yeah, but if you the best out of a pile of shit, what are you really the king of? That's a good point.
Out of a pile of shit. He's saying rap is a pile of shit now?
He's saying that if you the best out of it, then, you know, you're going to stand out. You're going to be the king.
Okay.
Because, like, I mean, when we talk about that whole verse, what are the other verses of the year that we have to compare that to right now?
Other whole verses?
Exactly. Exactly.
So other whole verses, Kendrick Lamar.
What verse?
What do you mean what verse? What song? Like, pick a song. J. Cole, pick a song. Kid Cudi, pick a song.
I think Nas had a really good verse on. He had some. Actually, I know what the best verse was. Lil Wayne, Kendrick, Mona Lisa. Come on, like that was a whole story right there that they gave us. Flea Mason says, yeah, but Hov still put that verse together beautifully. He did, but you know, I like Hov, but I'm gonna say verse of the year for me was that Kendrick Wayne song. That whole thing in the entirety was amazing.
Verse of the year.
Julian says, I think you have to consider what is most politically pertinent right now. Flea Mason says, damn, I guess he's saying, damn, you're right. You do. It depends on what you have to compare it to that we make it the best verse. But before Instagram cuts us off, because we are at an hour right now, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Nikki, tell them where they can find you at, where your podcast is, all of that.
You could click the link in my bio at Nikki Loves the Cool Kids or at Hip Hop's Love Child. Find my podcast at Love Child's Theory Podcast on SoundCloud, at Love Child's Theory on Instagram, at LCT Podcast on Twitter. Yep. Thank you for having me.
Nah, thank you for coming on the show. That was great. That was really good. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. iTunes Podcast, YouTube, wherever y'all are. Appreciate y'all. And that's it. It's a wrap. Peace.